Heavenly Father, we thank you. As that song was sung earlier, Lord, just as I am, my goodness, Lord, we have nothing without the completed work of Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you sent him. Your love for us, Lord, was eternal. It was unconditional in the sense that there was nothing we could do to appease you or to please you or to impress you. But still, you were rich in mercy. We were great love. You have loved us and made us alive. And we thank you, Father, for that. Lord, please bless our time now as we come before you, Lord. Encourage us as we consider the simple word run and what that should mean to us in regards to our relationship with you. Again, Father, I ask that you may bless this time. Open up our hearts and minds to you, Lord, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as we heard from 2 Timothy 2, I'm actually only going to land on one particular verse and spend some time with that. So, and that's verse 22. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. In fact, verse 19 that was read out earlier, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. And we're certainly going to look at this word run and see what that means for us today. We're going to look at the word run, and then my 3 points, if you are a note taker, or at least want to visualize that in your head, which is sort of like me, the first two are run from and run towards. I'm going to use this third one as a bit of a surprise and see if you can work that out as we work through verse 22. But run from and run towards. Now, if I wanted to lose 10 kilos, for example, or 5 kilos, I might consider things like, you know, on the way home from the city sometimes when I feel like I need a bit of reward, I might stop going to McDonald's drive-thru and getting just a cheeseburger, just one cheeseburger, which could be two, then a dollar. You know, frozen cake, $5, pretty good, isn't it? I might stop eating junk food. I might stop eating donuts, or I might stop eating in-between meals. They're things I would stop doing. They're things that I might run from. Also, if I was wanting to lose 5 or 10 kilos, apart from wanting to stop certain things, I might start doing some things. What would they be? Maybe I might start running 2 or 3 kilometres or 5. I might start riding a bike. I might start a gym program. I might start an accountability partner to help me keep on track with my diet. I might start eating the right things. And that illustration, or that sort of dynamic I want us to think about today, that is the Christian life. We are running from things, and we are exhorted, and we should be running towards things. And certainly if we look at 2 Timothy 2 there, Paul reminds Timothy, he says, remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only fools and hearers. Verse 15, though, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Verse 19, depart from iniquity. And I love verse 20 and 21 there. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but of wood and clay, some for honourable use, some for dishonourable. Verse 21, therefore if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonourable, he will be a vessel for honourable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Well, not to be set apart to be holy just so we look good and, oh, I'm holy. No. We are set apart to be holy, then we're in a position, we're enabled to be useful for the master. Isn't that a wonderful picture? And that's what we want to think about here in this word run. We want to be ready for every good work. We want to be honourable in our lives. And I love the illustration that I heard earlier with the kids talk that of the earthly father will save and protect. And certainly that's what our heavenly father is saying to us. I want to protect you. There's things you need to flee from, as Tom used the word earlier, to run from. And there's things you need to run towards. In this context here, we have Paul in prison, writing to Timothy, most likely in Ephesus, and he's talking about this servant soldier, a worker approved by God, ready for every good work. So let's look at this first point here, run from. We see, I think in the New King James, I'm using the ESV, it says, so flee youthful passions. I think the New King James might say something around youthful lusts there. But the word flee is an interesting word. The tense of it is often, the word was often used about a fugitive. Okay, so someone who's running from trouble, someone who's running, they might have caused the trouble in the first place, but they're running from being caught, and there's no way they want to get caught with that. They're on the run, so to speak. I remember one of the first times I played paintball, we didn't think about teaming up and protecting each other, and I remember just running all over the bush like a mad person, avoiding getting shot in all sorts of different places. And I certainly felt like a fugitive. I remember one time hiding behind a tree, my heart was pumping. That's the only real illustration I give. I've never run from the law or run from a helicopter chasing me down an alleyway or something like that. But certainly here, Paul is using a very strong word to say run. Be like a fugitive and run. And what is he saying run from? Youthful passions, we read there. And we might think, well, that just means sins of the young people. But certainly I think there is an emphasis there, or a focus rather, on sexual sin. But I think it can be pride or worldliness or careers or hobbies. Anything that has a desire to take you away from God. So Paul is saying here to Timothy, flee these things, tell others to flee these things. Because if we go back to verse 21, we won't be honourable, we won't be ready, we won't be enabled, we won't be effective, will we? We need to flee these things. Not just hang around them, not just say, oh, I can watch those things, but I don't take that part in, or I fast forward that part. Paul is saying, run from them. It's an illustration. I remember a long time ago when I was eating a lot better than I do now, and I was up at, sort of Druraway, around the corner there, there's a McDonald's, and I was going to a meeting, this is when I was in business, I was going to a meeting at night, and I hadn't had dinner. I thought, oh, I won't go to Macca's. No, because I'll be eating the wrong thing. I thought, oh, they have salads there, don't they? Did you know that? They have salads there? Yeah, you can buy water. I mean, water's not going to kill you straight away, is it? I thought, I'll go in there. And I remember standing in line for some reason. It was 4 or 5 long, and I remember it was quite a while ago now. I was waiting, and I'm looking at the salads. Didn't really know much about salads. Had McDonald's, I'm saying. And there was one with chicken and one wasn't. And I remember going to salad, I can't remember the names of them now, but it was like, let's say salad A, and then salad B had the chicken. Salad A, salad B, which one will I get? Will I get a water? Yeah, I'll get a bottle of water. I'm going to pay $3 when you get a free water. Yeah, I'll get a free water like that. It's going to be cheap. I'm waiting. I get to, waiting. There's 2 out, 3 out. I get this salad A, salad B. I don't know which one to get. And for some insane reason, when the young lady said, hi, can I help you? Do you think I went for salad A or salad B? I don't think I said, could I have a large Big Mac meal, please? Just like that. And she said, would you like a Coke with that? Sure, give it to me. Double it up. I'll die tonight. And I still remember getting it and going, oh, what a goose. I did enjoy it. There is always an initial spike. I think if we take that to sin, it's often like that, isn't it? And I have nicknamed McDonald's, no offence, it's got its place, the coffee's all right there, the temple of temptation. Because no matter how many times you go in with the right intentions, you are going to be seduced. The smell, the taste, whatever it might be. And some of those things to go together. Coca-Cola's done a great job of association with different things, with hamburgers or pizzas or things like that. But it's the temple of temptation, isn't it? Paul says, don't even go in there. Don't even go in there. And that big M can be like a tractor beam sometimes, can't it? And I don't mind it. It's all right in this place. I'm not knocking it. But for me, at that point in my time, that just did me in. Paul is saying, run from these things. Now, it's sad, as a middle-aged person as I am, that I'm still tempted, and I'm talking collectively of all of us here, we're still tempted with the things which we were tempted at when we were young. Isn't that sad? We shouldn't be. We need to run from those things. We've looked at Joseph running from Potiphar's wife, not wanting to hang around. His character and his witness before the Lord was more important, we might say, than his reputation. He could have maybe done those particular activities that Potiphar's wife wanted and might have been able to keep that undercover and just lived his life and had a good, but his character, His walk before the Lord were more important, so he ran. He ran. In Romans 12, 9, it says, abhor what is evil. I love saying that word. I don't really use it a lot with the kids, but abhor what is evil. Or mortify is one of the translations from Colossians 5. But certainly, the language is strong. In Romans 8, 13, put to death. Put to death. There's no hanging around when it comes to sin. Sexual sin or other elements. And I mentioned earlier, careers and hobbies. You might think, well, they're not a sin, Shane. Well, they're not in themselves. Either is McDonald's, I might add. But if those things are going to lead you away from your walk with the Lord, if those things become more important, if they become your passion, if that's what you desire, they will take you down a pathway that means you are not able to be an honourable vessel for the Lord. Paul here is saying, run, run. Let's think about this. What is your, right now in your heart, in your mind, and answer it to yourself, what is your area that you need to run from? Is it lust? Is lust a challenge for you? And maybe you have run from it, but there's particular things you're still tempted by, a look, or have a second look, or a second stop. Is it materialism? I just want to look good, I want to feel good, I want to satisfy myself with material things that somehow fill a void. Is it lack of faith in particular areas? Paul is saying, run from it. There's a silly old saying that says, if you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas. My dad used to say it a lot. I never used to get it as a kid what he meant. But if you lie down with dogs, you get up with fleas. If you stop and you dwell and you look at sin, you're going to get implicated by it. You're going to be damaged by it. And Paul is saying, run. Run from sin. In Hebrews 12, 1, it says, lay aside every weight, every sin that entangles. And I often imagine, he said, let me actually quote it, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You can imagine as a Christian, let me just try and use this metaphor. If you've got a backpack on and it's full of bricks, and you start messing with sin again, or you're starting to just hang around things that have been tempted you in the past, and you put more and more bricks in, you're not able to run fast, are you? You're not able to perform well. Paul is saying, get rid of that stuff that's holding on. And unfortunately, as Christians sometimes, when other Christians can't see it, we can tend to accommodate it or put up with it or just shut the door slightly so no one else sees it in the home of our head, if we say it that way. And it's okay, I'll just leave it there. Paul says, no, run, because you're not effective for the Lord. You're not honourable. You won't be effective for the Lord in all that you do. So let me leave that thought with you again. Run from those things. And I don't know what those things are in your life, but they're there. They're there. And if we haven't run from them, if we haven't mortified them, if we haven't put them to death, we need to do something about that, I would say, right now. Now, Paul then moves on to say, he says, so flee or run from youthful passions. And then he says, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. The second one is run towards. I wonder what that third one could be. Probably shouldn't do that as a preacher because it might distract you, but let's look at run towards right now. And I want you to see as I say this that the Christian life is about movement. There was such an energy here. I said to Tom, but there's such an energy here activity and anticipation. I might say the word vibe. But, you know, you're living your Christian lives in the world and the people and places around you. Then you come together as a formal group. And it's just really exciting to hear. The singing was beautiful. And it should point us towards, not just the preach word, but point our hearts towards God. And Paul, he says, I want you to run towards, I want you to pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace. Run towards these things. Again, the language there of pursue, the original language, it was a command, it was an imperative. It's just like fugitive, you want to go hard at it, pursue and run. Now, let me just see what these things mean. Let's look at these together. Righteousness, what does that mean? This is certainly not the righteousness that we think about, that, you know, from 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God made him and knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. But it's talking about right living, obviously comes out of that. Right living, not so much the rules, but living God's ways. Living God's ways. John MacArthur talks about Bible study, and he says the ultimate goal of all Bible study is not increased knowledge, because that's sometimes what we do as Christians, we rack it up. I know this now, I know this, I can argue with this person, I can do this. The ultimate goal of all Bible study is not increased knowledge, but increased holiness and Christ-likeness. Whenever we read Scripture, we should be asking the first question, what does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about God? In Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure but by guarding it according to what? To your word. We want to pursue righteousness. We need to be in God's word. We need to be immersing ourselves in God's word. So Paul says, go and live, run towards righteousness, run from sin, flee from sin, put to death sin. And I love that, if I backtrack a little bit, flee those youthful passions. We've got particular things that we've had challenges with. Put them to death and turn and pursue righteousness. Paul then says, pursue or run towards faith. Probably an easy way to translate that would be faithfulness or loyalty or consistency or reliability, integrity. Maybe trustworthiness is a way to say that. And these people who are faithful and trustworthy, Lord, they're the pastor's favourites. You just know they're going to be things. You just know they're going to talk to the visitor. You just know they're going to put their hand up to help out and do things. Paul here is saying, run towards righteousness. Run towards those activities and those thoughts and that motivation that is faithful and trustworthy. Run towards them. Run away from sin and run towards them. We see Paul then says, run towards love. It's an agape love. What's an agape love? It's a proactive love. It's a love that's not based on feelings. It's not based on how I might feel about my love that I give to someone, but it's a love that's given out to others with no expectation in return. Maybe in simple terms you might say it's an unconditional love in that sense. But you're looking out for others' well-being. But Paul is saying, run from the things that you desire from a sinful point of view, but then run to righteousness, run to faithfulness or trustworthiness, and then run to love, and look to love others. That's sometimes very hard, isn't it? In the little, is that adult Sunday school class we had earlier at 9 o'clock, we talked about that sometimes our own self-centeredness stops us from reaching out to people with the gospel. And yet God loved us while we were still sinners. God demonstrates his love towards us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul here is saying, run towards that. Not think about it. I'll get around to it one day. Oh, if they love me, I'll love them. No. We were the unlovable in many respects, weren't we? Yet God loved us with an eternal love, an agape love. Paul here is saying, I need to see that. I need to see you're running to righteousness. You're running to faith. You're running to love to others. And then lastly, run towards, what do we have there? Peace. Understand the Greek, the root word of this, Irene, also we get our English word serenity. Serenity. And I love nature. I've got a mountain bike and I like getting out amongst things. And I used to, as a kid, breed birds and all those sorts of things. And we're back on a reserve and it's pretty cool. And sometimes I go, serenity. You've heard that sort of phrase before there. But it's not talking about that peace, is it? Not talking about that peace. And really, there's two ways to explain peace here. Paul says, run towards peace. So look for peace, desire peace. And certainly that starts with what? A peace with God. A peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Who? How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been made one. I sometimes find that so hard to explain to people that don't know the Lord, what that means. Do you understand that? Our Creator, the Sovereign One, the Holy One, who does not need us, He's not in need of us to prop His relationship up with the Triune God or anything like that. We have peace with Him. We were dead in sin. And here in a practical sense, I think Paul is saying, we have now the peace of God. We would say Jesus, I would say it this way, His personal peace. Let me read John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let me think about peace for a moment. Are you a person of peace? In the Old Testament, I believe the word peace is used over 237 times. New Testament, around 90 odd times. The root word of peace means to join or tie together into a whole. It's not just peace. Like this morning, I get really excited. I heard some black cockatoos. I love those things. They're beautiful creatures. Got a wonderful sound. My wife doesn't think the same, but I love them. That's sort of peaceful, but that's not what we're talking about. It's peace with the Creator. We are one with the Creator. We are one with the Creator. And if you look up definitions of peace, they often say things like the absence of war or other hostilities, or the absence of conflict or an agreement or a treaty to end hostilities. Now that is, in a sense, our relationship with the Lord. There is a covenant there, isn't there? But it's more than that. It's much bigger than that, isn't it? Much bigger. It's a peace we have with God. We are now His children. And then Paul says to us, and the Holy Spirit saying to us in that sense, that we need to run towards that peace. We need to live out the peace we have with God in the peace that we have with others. I shared earlier a particular situation that just grieves my heart that I don't have peace with someone right now. I know that doesn't always work out that way. Paul here is saying, run towards peace. Now, what does that look like? It's just not we, there's peace, I'll run towards it. We have the peace we've got, and we want to actively or proactively seek out how to continue that and develop that and really express the peace we have with God with others and the peace that we have with God. This also, I think, applies to our lives. Some of us are more anxious, more stressful than others, and often there's legitimate reasons for that, with things that have gone in the past or confidence levels or experience, and that's natural. But we can be encouraged, can't we, that we can have peace of God because we have peace with the Creator. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying run towards righteousness, run towards faithfulness or trustworthiness, run towards love, run towards peace. What do we think the third point is? Run from, run to, run with. Where do we find that? Where do we find that? Let me read that verse for you again. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. We don't do this on our own. We're not on an island. Sadly, Christians often do that. We might be here with our happy, shiny, happy faces, but our spiritual lives might be a little isolated. We're not open. We're not running with people. I was recently out mountain biking with a couple of the guys from church on a Saturday morning. We take off, and whoever wants to come, it's on WhatsApp, and meet at this time, we'll go there. And I was on the phone, and they were ahead of me, and I thought they were going right, and I'm on the phone talking, and they'd gone straight. And about 5 minutes later, I said, mate, I've got to go. I've lost the guys I was with. I'm not running with them right now. They'd gone a different way and thought I would follow and see them. And I want to encourage you right now. What do I mean by run with? Run with the people of God, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. We don't live our Christian life in isolation. In fact, if we do, we're going to very quickly fall in the trap of running to the things Paul is saying here through the Holy Spirit to run from. We need the people of God. I love going to live sport, and I'll probably lose a few people right now, but I go for the Bulldogs. And my anticipation levels going to Bulldogs games last year wasn't that high. In fact, if the other team hadn't scored against us within the first 15 minutes, I think we might go all right tonight. We might only lose by 20. But you go to the cricket or something, everyone's excited and there's anticipation seeing a great game or seeing the kids seeing their heroes or whatever. But as I said earlier, there was an energy here. There was an anticipation. There was a joy coming before the Lord, seeing people you haven't seen for a week or two. And Paul here is saying, run with the people of God. Run with the people of God, along with those who call on the name from a pure heart. I'm going to say something which I have no reason to say this, and I'm not saying about you guys, I haven't heard that from Chris or Tom or anyone, but it's horribly disappointing for me when I see Christians that don't appreciate church. It's horribly disappointing. And I think it's a hard issue. It's so dangerous as a pastor. You should be at church each week. I should be. We should be. But it's a horrible thing if you do that. You set up a bit of a framework or a legalistic performance framework to do that. It is a hard issue, but it's horrible. We know that iron sharpens iron, don't we? But in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul does this amazing illustration of the body of Christ in a local context. Christ is the head, and we are the body parts, aren't we? And we all make up those parts. And the eye can't say, I'll do my own thing, or the hand can't cut himself off and go and live his own way. We're all connected. Now, we look at those things and, oh, that's really cool. Yeah, that's so true. And you could leave it there and say, well, sporting teams could take that analogy too, couldn't they? Or work teams or whatever the case may be, or people in a police unit or whatever the case may be. But this is the church. This is the church that Christ died for. In Ephesians 5, Paul says that Christ is preparing his bride and bringing them unspotted and unblemished to him. Isn't that beautiful? And yet we treat the church, not saying you guys particularly, we can treat the church like it's just something we do, it's an option. I'll turn up if I want. Paul here is saying, run along with those who call on the name from a pure heart. It's interesting when we read Hebrews 10 there. Let me just read this passage to you. Hebrews 10:24-25. Now, you know, some verses are overused a bit sometimes in Scripture or from people. Often people go to 10:25 and say, not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of song, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. But I love verse 24, because that's why the writer of Hebrews is talking about in verse 25. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and to good works. Let us consider. Let's think about this seriously. How to stir one another for love, to love and good works. It's very hard to do that on Facebook Live in your own boots on the lounge, isn't it? Instead of being with God's people. And then we can see, not neglecting to be together, but encouraging one another. And we need to run with God's people. It's fascinating still for me, we were sharing around evangelism there next door this morning, that this is what God is using. You guys and me, this is what God is using. The infinite, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present God who taught creation, created world into being, let there be this, let there be that, let there be this, then says, right, this is how the gospel that will take dead people to life, this is how it's going to work. Through you guys, the church. And yet we treat it with, I think, disrespect. Or we're too complacent. We don't value what God values greatly. So much so that Christ came and died. Imagine my wife is at home and I ring her and say, look, I'm not coming home tonight, but I'll send you some love via Facebook. Or I'm not coming home, I'm very busy today, I'll be home about 8 o'clock and she's got a nice dinner prepared. Or I won't be there on the weekend, but I'll send you some flowers. I'm still sending you money to buy food and look after the kids. That's not what she wants, is it? She doesn't want some guy who's just going to pay the bills and send flowers and And sometimes we can treat church that way. Sometimes we can treat, let me say it differently, God's people that way, God's children, God's redeemed children. She would say, Shane, you say you love me, but you don't want to be with me. Even when you say you want to be with me, you're not there. And we can treat church that way. Christ is the head of this amazing organization, a divine organization, a divine institution. It is the means by which God is carrying out his plans and purpose. It is the means by which he grows us individually. And there's no such thing as a standalone Christian. If you've ever read that book, Robinson Crusoe, when he's stuck on an island on his own, maybe you go to the movie with Wilson, the volleyball or whatever it was, I don't know. There's no such thing as a Robinson Crusoe Christian. God has designed us to be part of something incredibly unique, incredibly divine. He doesn't make mistakes, does he? If you have a business, if you're in the business world and you might have key performance indicators you've got to do every month, it's not like heaven's up there going, all right, what's the best way to bring in God's elect? Well, we'll do it through the church. No, have you seen it? No way. There's got to be a better way. Now, this is the way. This is the way. This is the privilege. This is responsibility. And at the same time, when we run with God's people, think about it that way, we are also growing. We are also growing in our walk with the Lord. Can you see that? Let's think about this. Let's wrap up our time today. Where are you running right now? We're running for the Lord, aren't we? But where are you running? Are you running towards things you should be running from? Are you running towards the things that Paul here through the Holy Spirit is exhorting us to run towards? And are you running with God's people? I just don't mean turning up to things that are wrong, but do you come to these things looking forward to worshipping and praying and singing and hearing the word, but looking forward to being with God's precious people? You know you've been saved by the grace of God. You know you've been saved by the finished work on the cross. Look around to your left or right. Those people have too. Isn't it beautiful? You know it. And yet we can waste our time on trivial things. Sin, desires, hobbies. Imagine if Christ came back. Sorry. Imagine if Christ, you knew somehow, this is just a metaphor, illustration. Christ is coming back next year. This time, 12 months' time. How would that change where you run? How would that change how quickly you run from the things you need to? How would it change how quickly you run towards righteousness, faith and love and peace? And how quickly and how often and how in depth would you run with God's people? Do you waste your life on trivial things when God has given us so much in Christ? I read Hebrews 12:1. Let me read verse 2. Well, let me read one again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, everything that's going to burden us, and sin which clings so closely, or your translation might say entangles, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. But we don't do it on our own, do we? It's not our performance alone, is it? Look at verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I think we gloss over that last part. He is at the right hand of the throne of God, with all power, interceding, we read in other parts of Hebrews, on our behalf. Let's not run back to the sins and the lusts and the passions that we once had. Let's run towards righteousness. Let's run towards faithfulness and love and peace. But I want to say it this way too, not just run, let's run harder in the strength of God. Let's run harder with the love of God. Let's run harder with intercession of the Holy Spirit as He nudges and guides us and teaches us. Run harder. Run harder, run harder, run harder. And run with God's people. See each of you here as a meticulous positioning of God's divine plans and purposes to bring you together to carry out something much greater than yourself. My goodness, we're serving the great King, aren't we? Around you right now, the people God has sent, this is it for this area. You guys are going to carry out my plans and purposes. That's where we need to run from. We need to run to and run with. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful opportunity you've given us, Lord. Father, you're the creator. God, you're the creator of all things. Yet now, from our perspective, almost painstakingly, yet patiently, you are carrying out your plans and purposes through us, earthen vessels. Lord, we want to be honourable vessels. We want to glorify you, Lord. We want to live for you, Lord. And yet we do at times turn and look at the old ways, the old passions, the old lusts. Lord, please encourage us, challenge us to run from those things, to run towards righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And Lord, let us see the benefit, the blessing of running with your people, running together, running harder to carry out your plans and purposes through this church. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.